I know what you're thinking. You didn't come here to listen to advertisements. You want to listen to podcasts, and I get that, guys. But Mark Adam Haggerty here, taking a quick minute to remind you that all of our programming here on B Plus Player Radio is sponsored by Audible.com. And when you head over to audibletrial.com/B+players, you get a free month and access to over 100,000 different audiobooks. And you know me, I have been turning frowns upside down by making towns all around. That's right, guys. I have been popping up, working for a whole bunch of different wrestling promotions, from the Dynasty to World of Hurt to Tier 1, the Bigger Better Wrestling Federation. Little Birdie tells me that I might be popping up in Connecticut very soon, in Rhode Island. Please stay tuned for all that. But the point is, I am doing a lot of driving, sometimes by myself, sometimes with other people. The fact of the matter is, I need entertainment. And the best place to find entertainment for the car, for these long journeys, or hell, for any time of the day, is by going over to audibletrial.com/B+players, getting a free month, and then picking something amazing. Something like, Brian Alvarez's book, The Death of WCW, Hulk Hogan's autobiography. You don't want to keep going with the wrestling stuff? That's fine, guys. You into Star Wars? Game of Thrones? You into the classics? What do you like? Dungeons and Dragons? Video games? Whatever it is, find whatever you're looking for. Whether it's stand-up comedy specials, podcasts, Audible has it all. audibletrial.com/B+players, and I'll see you on the road.
Hey guys, Gary Mastriano here. I'm host of the Survivor Theories podcast here on the B Plus Player Radio Network. Survivor Theories is the official B Plus Player Survivor Series retrospective show. Each week, Mark, myself, and a very special guest are breaking down every Survivor Series. We're going to tell you what's going on in the world of wrestling. We're going to let you know our thoughts on the show. We're going to let you know a little bit about pop culture that year and also what was going on in our personal lives. So make sure you tune in each week to Survivor Theories right here on B Plus Player Radio.
The following program is brought to you by B Plus Player Radio. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests therein and do not necessarily reflect the views of this network, our affiliates, or our sponsors. For more information, please visit us on Facebook and Twitter at B Plus Radio. And now,
it's showtime, folks!
You're listening to A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with the genuine article, Sean Donovan. And now, here's your host, Sean Donovan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the newly renamed A Genuine Taste of Wrestling. And my guest this week, a very popular female independent wrestler who has made strides for more than a decade. Please welcome Casey Carlisle.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So just kind of delving into the forefront, obviously, women's wrestling has been on a tear over the last couple of years, and not to the dismay of anybody, they saw who saw it coming, but last night, WWE announced the first ever, women's Royal Rumble. So for you being in the sport for, a long period of time, what are you feeling as a female professional wrestler, seeing all of these doors open up after years of seeing a lot of the, women's wrestling kind of being bra and panties, all that type of stuff? Where do you see it now, and how do you feel about it?
I'm excited for it, and I'm happy to see it happening. I think it's long overdue. Women's wrestling has always been, it's always been grouped in, and I'm not saying this in a disrespectful manner to them, and I think people who have any idea of the history of the wrestling business will understand, you know, women's wrestling and midget wrestling was always considered kind of the, you know, the sideshow of the sideshow. You know, pro wrestling used to be a sideshow. That was, that's the roots of the business. And women's wrestling and midgets have always been, you know, and I know midgets is not the politically correct term today, but it's just, that's what it was always called. You know, it was always considered kind of a special attraction. It wasn't necessarily something you would see all the time. It wasn't the mainstream. It wasn't the norm. So if you had one of those matches presented to you, it was a special attraction. It was, you know, special. It was unique. It was kind of, here it is because it's few and far between. You're not going to see it often. It was kind of a cherry on top. And over this entire course of time, as the business has evolved, as wrestling itself has evolved, as women's wrestling has evolved, I think it's overdue that we're at the point in time where people are realizing and believing and seeing on a large scale level that women can go just as much as the men. They can be just as rough and tough. They can deliver the same intensity in their matches. They can deliver the same physicality, you know, the same moveset. I mean, it's really transcended to become something where women are starting to be looked at truly as peers rather than a special attraction. And I think it's great. You know, I applaud WWE for taking that step. And, you know, indie companies can do stuff like that. There's plenty of indie companies that are women, you know, they're women-only companies. It's a female promotion, an all-women promotion. And that's fantastic, too. But for the WWE, who everybody under the sun considers, you know, the standard, and some people consider them the trailblazers in some respects, for them to put the women on the stage like that, on the national level, kind of in front of everybody who, we're talking about the hardcore fans who follow every indie federation and promotion and every indie wrestler, to the casual fan who only cares about WWE, for them to present that to them and put it in front of their eyes, I think it's wonderful. I think it's overdue. I think that it's going to be very well received, very successful, and I'm happy for the fact that that means this many more women in the business will get the recognition of their abilities and their talent. Because there's plenty out there who, you know, are good workers. Like WWE has always been known or kind of looked at in the past as hiring models and non-wrestlers with a spattering of actual workers and wrestlers mixed in. And it's starting to kind of be vice versa. And I think it's great. I think it's really cool.
I agree with everything you said there. Do you think it's, because when I take a look at the landscape of independent wrestling, I think there's so many variables when it comes to, you know, the female matches. I think, you know, I used to be on shows, and even nowadays where even still sometimes there's only one women's match. And do you think WWE highlighting that now and the advent of social media being such a presence for everyone to get their name out there, do you see more of a rise in women taking the role of becoming a wrestler that much more seriously? Because, and I say that with all due respect, because when I first started, you know, and I think even today, there aren't as many female trainees at schools as there still are men. And a lot of times they wouldn't necessarily take learning the craft very seriously. Do you see it nowadays where more of the women are starting to take it seriously, because now that WWE is kind of putting that platform out there and putting women on the forefront, that you're going to start seeing even more and more female wrestlers really popping up doing amazing things? Or do you kind of feel it's going to stay the way that it kind of is?
I am cautiously optimistic that it's going to start resulting in girls, you know, entering training schools, really being serious about wanting to be trained and wanting to go through all of the physical pain, all of the mental distress and pain and toughness necessary. I'm cautiously optimistic that we are kind of starting to round the corner into that era of women's wrestling. I agree with you that in the past and still today, to some respect, you know, for every girl who is at a training school because she was like me, she grew up watching wrestling and truly wanting to be there, there's four or five other girls who are there because their boyfriends are students at the school, and God forbid they be away from their boyfriends for a couple hours, so they want to go try to play wrestler, or because they look at it as, I'm going to go put on a lot of makeup and be able to dress skimpy and be in front of a crowd, and this is going to be my launching pad to being a model or an actress or some shit like that. You know, or it's a situation where there are girls who think that, you know, who maybe have not been exposed to anything but that brawn panty kind of take on it that we were talking about earlier, who think, I don't have to learn how to wrestle. I just have to go learn how to roll around, you know, who don't understand the business and think that they're going to get into it and it's going to be a walk in the park. There's been plenty of that recently over the past several years. It's frustrating, especially as a female in the business. It's really frustrating to see. And honestly, there's also girls in schools who are there because the owner of the school or the promoter, whoever, you know, invited them because they were cute or they had other intentions or something like that. It's just how it is, unfortunately, and how it has been. And that goes hand in hand with girls being put in the ring too early, which is a whole nother topic. But I think right now, the reason I say I'm cautiously optimistic is because I don't want to see this being a short-lived trend or fad in the wrestling business where women's wrestling is really hot and is taken seriously and is looked at with the same eye as men, just to fade and fizzle out and, you know, digress back to the brawn panties and women being used primarily as managers or valets or, you know, here's a two-minute match that we're going to have interrupted by this, that, or the other, whatever. I think it's great that there are trained, quality, solid workers who are getting this national opportunity and platform. And my hope is that the girls that are watching on TV or that are sitting in their crowds who are true wrestling fans look at what's happening now and think to themselves, you know, this is something that I really do have a chance to pursue and that I really can do without feeling like they have to be, you know, this size 2 blonde or whatever, you know, you can walk out in broad panties and be over to hell with whether or not you have psychology type of thing. So I'm hoping that it's the start of a new era, but I think that it's so early right now and that this is such, you know, like I said, it's turning a corner, and I'm hopeful that this continues and it's not a fad, but I think it's too early to say for sure. I think we have to wait and see. Is everybody excited because it's new and different and it's been the cool thing because of the Mae Young and everything, or is it because there's truly a fan base who wants good, solid women workers on their television? And I think we're going to find that out as we go forward.
Yeah, I can definitely see your point of view on that. I think, you know, when I take it back and look through the history of wrestling over the last, you know, 30, 40 years, and you kind of hit the nail on the head of, you know, being cautiously optimistic and whether or not it might be a fad. I mean, you look at, you know, women's wrestling was popular in the late 70s, early 80s, and obviously forefronting that with, you know, the Fabulous Moolah and Leilani Kai. And then you kind of saw it take a back turn towards the mid to late 80s. It kind of disappeared a little bit. Then it reemerged in the mid 90s with, you know, Alundra Blaze and Bull Nakano kind of blazing that trail.
Right.
And then it, all of a sudden you kind of saw it take a little bit of a back step. And then, you know, Medusa was still at that forefront in the mid you know, the late 90s, and then you mm-hmm. kind of saw a lot of ups and downs in that. And as you got into the wrestling business, you know, where have you seen it kind of go awry, so to speak, and from a female perspective? Because I've never really had the opportunity to really talk to as many, you know, female performers to kind of get their take on what they see as to why it always kind of started, but then it kind of stopped before it could really gain any steam.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know as well as I do, professional wrestling has always been looked at as an industry and a business that is very much like a roller coaster. It's compared to a roller coaster in a lot of different ways, honestly. But from a big point of view, you know, professional wrestling is always looked at as the popularity of professional wrestling itself is a roller coaster. You have the peak, the huge high of the 80s, you know, with Hulkamania and the Rock and Wrestling Connection. You have that huge high, and then you have a dip in the 90s where people, the overall opinion is it got very gimmicky, it got very character-based. You know, viewership was down, they weren't selling out the same size buildings and so forth. And then you have the Attitude Era where it goes right back up and I think exceeds, you know, potentially what it was in the 80s. So wrestling as a whole has always been looked at using this analogy of a roller coaster. And I look at women's wrestling as a roller coaster within a roller coaster, because you have the dips and the highs of the business itself, but within that roller coaster, you have the peaks and the valleys that you are referring to when it comes specifically to women's wrestling. You know, like you said, in the 80s, the what was then the WWF, you know, they had their women's division, and Sherry Martel, you know, was a strong champion. And, you know, back to Moolah and Leilani Kai and Wendi Richter, and one of the matches that I think still today people always take away from the first Survivor Series was the women's match, was the Golden Girls and the Jumping Bomb Angels. That's a match that is still, I still hear that brought up today. And that was a women's match in the 80s. And you don't hear people really referencing specific women's matches from that time very often. But then you get into, again, like the 90s, you know, like you said, it peaks and it valleys. I think, you know, I feel as though in the past, anytime there has been a situation where you've had good workers who can put on a good match, it's always kind of been taken away. And I think that's because I don't want to make it sound as though I'm accusing sexism, but, you know, it's really hard to ignore a hot girl not wearing very much, you know, a hot girl who looks really good wearing a skimpy outfit next to a really hot guy with a good build or something. And I think that it's just been hard for people to overcome the thought that women have been placed into this valley manager role a lot, whether they can go in the ring or not. And so you saw people kind of hitting a glass ceiling. You know, you mentioned like Medusa and Bull Nakano, and they had, you know, they had quality people in there, but it's like, one, you only had a very small handful, and you can only do so much as far as angles and so forth when you have maybe two or three girls. There really is only so much you can do. But then to use Medusa as an example, you know, she was their champion, and she's a phenomenal worker who, you know, has decades of experience. But when she did go over to WCW, what ended up happening? She still ended up being relegated to that role of a valet or a manager, if you would, when she was paired up with Savage, even though she had all of this ability and all of this experience. And I think we're at a point now where, you know, you don't see a lot of female managers or valets nationally anymore. And I think that's a good sign, because it's because they're all in the ring competing. And I think we've gotten to a point where we realize there's more to a female. She can still look hot as hell, and, you know, she can still get the job done and get the viewership and so forth. But we can be physical and we can go and we can put together a match and so forth too. And it doesn't have to be a, you know, hair mare every 2 seconds, cat fight rolling around on the mat type of slapping bull crap, whatever. So, you know, I mean, it's just, that's a really long answer, and I think I might have gotten off topic a little, but I feel like there's potential for people to be taking it more kind of, you know, in line with the guys and not so much defaulting in their mind to manager valet if you're a girl.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, your answer may be a little, you know, lengthy, but I think it really hits the nail on the head that there was a role.
All of my answers are lengthy. You know that by now.
No, but it's very true, though. I think you're right, though. The women's piece was a roller coaster within a roller coaster of the business itself. And I think, you know, the late 90s in WCW, there was no women's division at all. I think Medusa really was the only one that you had around. You had a few pop up here and there, but
well, you had Nora. You had, yeah, you know, she was what, Miss Madness,
Miss,
you know, Molly Holly.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, she's a hell of a worker.
Yeah.
You know, a hell of a worker.
Yeah, I think they missed the boat on that in the late 90s to really kind of, you know, bring women's wrestling up a little bit. But, you know,
but if you remember the late 90s, WCW, you know, what was one of the very, for a period of time there, what was one of the very hot contingents or one of the hot focal points in WCW? It was the Nitro Girls. And what were the Nitro Girls?
They're just dancers.
You know what I mean? Like, and they were women. They were women in the business, but they were being spotlighted in a outside of the ring.
Yeah, so they weren't going to contribute as many segments to the women because they already had that in their plate.
You know, so, yeah, it's like, it's really hard, and it's hard to be a female worker when you know that you can go in the ring. Which, I mean, you know, it can be very difficult to have a voice without sounding catty and sounding jealous and bitchy and so forth. So it's really, you know, you're kind of backed into a corner in many ways, and it's not so much like that now. Like, I'm one of, you know, I will voice my opinion to a promoter in a heartbeat. And I think people who have worked with me know I'm extremely professional and I'm extremely, you know, I carry myself with a certain standard and so forth. But if I don't agree with something, I'm going to very respectfully and professionally, but honestly, speak my opinion. And it doesn't have to be agreed with. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything, but I'm going to put it out there. And I have the ability to do that today. It wasn't necessarily always like that in this business. I think everybody knows that. And that's just the truth.
Yeah, I think as you come up the ranks, you kind of have to put in that time to where, you know, once your name is kind of established there, you kind of have a right to have that opinion and have a right to voice it, you know, respectfully. Not to say that anyone wouldn't at any certain period of time, but I think your reputation precedes itself. And when you have that reputation like you do of being a professional, I think, you know, being able to voice your opinion is going to mean so much more. And to that promoter who is running that event, if they're smart, they would probably listen to you, you know, and try to get a little mileage out of what you're discussing. Because if you're that passionate about it, I think it's only going to add to the overall event itself of whatever it is that you're disagreeing on or the match itself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that a lot of times when you do voice that opinion that it's not taken seriously for a variety of different reasons, and that the promoter just, hey, man, this is my show and I know what I'm mm-hmm. doing. But in the end, you kind of know that the route that they went wasn't the right way. And do you ever discuss that afterwards? And Or do you kind of just let sleeping dogs lie once they decide not to, you know, listen to you a little bit?
Honestly, no, I haven't. God, I'm going to come off sounding egotistical, but I'm just answering your question honestly. I have not really experienced, you know, if I voice my opinion to a promoter or to a booker, I have not ever had somebody just shoot it down and say, nope, sorry, not going to happen. You know, I would like to believe it's because I have earned people's respect with, you know, again, my work ethic, my professionalism, my number of years in the business, my knowledge of this business. I would like to believe that that's why. But when I, you know, I'm in the position, my mentality is, and I've said this to promoters before, you know, if I go up to somebody, you know, hey, what are you looking for? What do you want or something? There are some promoters who, and I will preface this by saying I'm fortunate and I'm lucky because I know that not everybody experiences this. There are some promoters who will say, do what you want. You know, Casey, you know, okay, Matt, you know, this match with whatever, this match, whatever. The women's match, you know, Casey and so, Casey, do whatever you want to do. And they give me the liberty to, you know, run the match the way I want to and the finish and stuff. However, there are some, you know, I'll go up to him. What is it you want out of this match? What's our end goal? And, you know, well, what do you think, Casey? And the for me, the line that you have to walk is, you know, it's not up to me at the end of the day. It's your show. And I have immediately responded to people with that response. Well, it's your show. You tell me. You know, it's not necessarily up to me. Yes, it's my match. But if you have, you know, if you have three matches, I hope you wouldn't, but if you have three matches that are ending with, you know, a heel screw job finish, I'm not going to do a heel screw job finish. So, yes, thank you for the creative liberty, but it's your show. So that happens sometimes. But if I do feel as though, look, you know, hey, guys, I just, here's a thought, here's an idea, I'm not so sure about A, B, or C, I will voice my opinion to them, again, in a respectful, professional manner. I don't get pissed if somebody disagrees with me because opinions are like assholes. And because, again, it's not my event, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, if I want to have control like that, then I should run my own show. I'm doing my part by voicing my opinion as a professional and as a worker and as somebody who's trying to look out for the good of the entire show, which would ultimately benefit everybody that's part of the show. I will voice my opinion, and I really have not experienced anybody flat out saying, nope, too bad, not going to happen, no way, deal with it, whatever. Everyone has always been very open and receptive and have sometimes taken what I've said and used it or gone with it. You know, so I've never experienced that where it's been kind of a brick wall that I'm beating on when it comes to stuff like that. But I do also know the flip side of that coin is there are plenty of girls who don't have the experience that I have, who are not as far along in the business, who don't work as often, and they might have a good idea. You know, experience doesn't always mean that you're right. It really helps, and it helps you be right most of the time, but you're not automatically right, or your idea isn't automatically the best idea because you've been working 3 years longer than this person. And I do know that there are And there's men, too, who have ideas or who have thoughts, and they just don't want to approach anybody and say anything because they're fearful of, you know, backlash. And I used to be like that when I was green because I'm like, look, I'm green. I have no right to say anything. And I still believe that's how it should be to an extent. But at this point in time, I have no problem speaking my opinion. I feel like I've earned it. I feel like I have, you know, been to enough of these rodeos that I know what I'm talking about. And I think that I'm fortunate that people know that of me. And I think people know that when I do make a suggestion, it's not to benefit me. It's not a political suggestion. it's to benefit the match and ultimately benefit the show. And maybe that has something to do with why I've never been completely ignored to. I don't know. But that's just my personal experience.
No, I think it's a good thing. And, you know, you touched on a point earlier, and it's something I agree on, too. You know, just because someone may have a few years more experience doesn't mean that they don't have good ideas and shouldn't voice them. I think one of the things I find fun is when I get the opportunity to work someone who is, you know, green and experienced, has 2-3 years in. But, you know, when they come to you and they say, hey, I have these ideas, and some of them may not make sense, but you can tweak them. But I almost find that I enjoy those matches more because I see there is creativity and there's passion within that individual that they want to have a good match with you, and they, to a degree, I think they want to impress you. I love that as opposed to working with newer guys that when I talk to them and I say, so, you know, what are you interested in doing? And they say, well, you're more experienced, so I figure it's, you know, you would tell me what you want.
Yeah. And you get the shoulder shrug. I don't care.
Yeah. It's like,
I don't care. Yeah. Whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah. But I get so passionate and energized when I see that new person come up to me and they have these ideas. And that's, to me, I already know that that match is probably going to be a lot of fun because
right.
they're already coming up with ideas. And, you know, especially when they say, hey, I've seen your work and I really, you know, I think we can do some cool stuff. I'm so open to that. Where I think when I came up, I think, and again, this is because wrestling is such a different time. I think, you know, when I came up, I think if I had said that to somebody when I first started, I would almost think like they would just kind of look at me, ignore me, and just say, we'll call it in the ring, kid. And
okay, that, kid.
Yeah, and that sign of, oh, God, what did I just say, you know?
That's when you get the thumbs up as they're walking away. Okay,
yeah.
Kid.
But I do you find that today, too? I mean, I know some people, most people I talk to really like that, but I still have some guys that I speak to that have been doing this even a little bit longer than me, and they kind of still have that old school, you know,
that
hey, I'm
gruff.
Experienced. Yeah, that grizzled.
The Billy Goat gruff.
Yeah, but I do you find that too? Because I love when these guys come up and they're like, oh my God, I have so many ideas. And it's like, I might want to say, okay, slow down. But to me, it's just like, I'm here to have fun. So it's like, throw all these ideas at me. What do you got? What can we do? I mean, do you find that a lot more these days than, you know, because I know you and I kind of, you know, came through in the same kind of era, but do you see that a lot more now
right.
with the women that you work with?
Yeah, it's honestly, it kind of depends on the girl. I mean, they're, you know, and I don't think this is any different, like you were just saying, you know, with the guys, I don't think this is a gender thing at all, but, when something like that happens, if I'm working, and look, I work a lot of green people. Like, I'm almost starting to become known, and I'm only saying this because people say it to me, which is why I'm saying I'm starting to become known. You know, I get paired up with green girls a lot, and excuse me, I apologize. And I'm not complaining. Like, I might have said this on one of the podcasts you and I have done before. I know for a fact I've said it on others. I've said it to people in private conversation. I will say it every day, all day long. I'll say it right now. My opinion and the way that I look at things is there is a huge night and day 100% difference in being green and being untrained. If you are untrained, I do not want to be in the ring with you, no. Because not only have you not earned that right, but I'll be damned if I'm going to put my body and my safety and my health on the line with somebody who's untrained. It's just not acceptable, not going to happen. I'm not a fan, and I'm probably, that will be one of the times that I have something to say to the promoter or the booker. If you are green, guess what? We've all been there, and people forget that in a heartbeat. People start getting a little bit of experience, they start getting a little bit of success, and they forget what it's like to be the green kid who's new to the business, who's new in the locker room, and is just trying to learn. So if you're green, I will work with you all day because I remember I have vivid memories of being green and being scared to death of working fill-in-the-blank worker or, oh my God, I have to go to this location and I'm scared. I've never been there. It's, you know, I remember I worked Christy Ricci in 2006 at the gathering, one of the Gathering of the Juggalo shows out in Illinois. And in 2006, Christy Ricci, you know, I mean, she was well-known on the indies. She's a former NWA Women's Champion. I remember standing there saying to her, I don't want to dumb down your match. Because I knew I was green, and she had experience. She had been to Mexico. She had been working for several years, and I remember saying that to her. I remember what it's like to be green. So to get back to your question, I don't mind at all. Like you said, I'm happy when girls have these thoughts, have these suggestions that they want to throw out there and they feel comfortable. I think a lot of times people, I have heard so many times recently that I'm intimidating as hell, that I am intimidating, that I'm very, people are scared to talk to me, people are scared to approach me, and on one hand, I'm like, hell yeah, man, I'm like, I'm working all y'all, I'm doing really well, and on the other hand, I'm like, why, I'm just me, you know, but I appreciate girls who are green, who have ideas that they're willing to speak up and to share and to throw out there because, as you were saying, number one, that shows me that they care and that, you know, they give a damn about the match and about their role in the match and their participation. Number two, it shows me that they think about this, that they care about it, that they do have something in them. You know, they're not just here to paint by numbers and because their friend is booked in match two. You know, they're here because they want to be here, and they want to learn, they want to get better. And I see it, too, many times as an opportunity to do a little, you know, on-the-job training. What's your idea? And the girl can tell me. 9 times out of 10, we're going to tweak it. You know, it's a good raw idea, but we just need to kind of mold it like silly putty a little bit just to make it fit the match, make it make sense. But I embrace that. And there's a girl, I'll use a very specific example, not to, you know, I don't want to single her out, but it's a good thing. I wrestled in Delaware just a couple, I think 2 weeks ago, Annabelle Stackhouse, and she's green. She's still, you know, breaking in. She's trying to make a name for herself. She's a great girl. She has a good future if she sticks with it. And we were in the locker room. And she asked if she could make a suggestion and throw out an idea. Do you mind if I suggest this? Which, number one, shows that she has this. I mean, it was a very respectful way that she said it, which I appreciate. And I said, of course I don't mind. Throw it at me. Throw anything at me. Dude, I will tell you right now, the idea that she threw at me was phenomenal, and I did not even let her finish. I cut her off to say yes. We're doing it. Done. It's part of the match now. And it was. We used it, and it was great. And I hadn't thought of it. She had a phenomenal idea that I didn't think of. And if I was a bitch or I was some, you know, veteran on a high horse or something, our match would have been just, you know, it would have just lacked that one little element. Her idea was, I'm not going to say what it was, obviously, because I don't want to give away too much, but it was a great idea. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm like, look, throw it at me. Even if it's a crappy idea that has no place in the match at all or something, that's a chance to teach that person. I love the fact that you're thinking this way and that you're coming up with stuff. Here's why it won't work tonight and why. And it's an automatic on-the-spot lesson. And if you can give that to somebody as a vet, then that's, you're being a vet. And you're doing what we should do. And I love that opportunity.
Yeah, I think you really put that in perspective that I think is so crucial, is not to just shoot the idea down. It's to say, hey, it may not work tonight, and here's why. And I find myself having these conversations a lot more lately these days. And especially me being on the Northeast, where there is such a plethora of independent wrestling, and just overall in wrestling, there is a lack of the veterans in wrestling today, where you find individuals such as myself or you doing it, you know, close to 20 years, that we've now become the veterans, and obviously we know our place because we've been trained by the right people that we can give that advice nowadays, and saying, here's why it didn't work tonight, or here's why it wouldn't work tonight. Or if you guys did have that idea and you came back and talked about it afterwards and talk about why it didn't work, maybe something got rushed. And now you're giving that on the spot training and coaching that I think lacks a lot today on shows. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a combination of there aren't as many experienced performers out there, or if it's just people don't want to provide that information anymore, or I feel like that's such a lost piece. I love talking, and some of my friends will always say, after a show, they'll say, hey, are you ready to leave yet? And I'll say, yeah, I'm ready to go. And they're like, well, we didn't want to interrupt your seminar that was going on. And I get so passionate that I just love working
being
with
smart asses.
Yeah, of course. But you know what it is? I have such a passion that I love talking about it. And I feel like if I can even give one little bit of advice to someone and they start asking questions, I feel like it's almost, if you're respectful of the business and the art itself, I almost feel like you're doing that individual trying to learn a disservice if you just blow them off. Instead
Absolutely.
Of taking the, yeah, you may have that 3-4 hour drive ahead of you, but what impression and reputation are you going to leave on that individual if you took the extra 5 or 10 minutes to talk to them about their match? So it may not even be the match that you worked with them, but maybe you were watching that match, and just to be able to provide just some little things, because you can just tell that person only has a couple of years and maybe just one thing might help them. And I feel like that's a lost piece these days that is not happening a lot on a lot of shows. And fortunate for me, I see it on a good amount of shows that I'm on, but I don't see it on every show. And I almost feel like there's a learning or a teaching piece right there that is not capitalized on a lot.
I agree with you so much. I've actually had there are two conversations that stick out to me that I've had with girls after I've worked them. You know, we go back to the locker room, and these conversations, each conversation, the two of them both, they both lasted, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that I was standing there talking to this girl, two different girls on two separate occasions. Each conversation lasted probably a minimum of a half an hour, if not more. And it was me, you know, it was me providing feedback. Here's what I would have rather seen you do at this point. Here's how you should do this, that. I mean, every little effing thing, to the point where some of the guys down this way have started to kind of bust my balls a little bit, you know, kind of elbow, wink, wink, like, oh, don't, you know, don't piss off Casey. You'll hear about it for a half hour. And I'm thinking, guess what, mofo? Your ass could stand to sit there for a half an hour and listen to it too. I am not going to apologize for caring about this business and caring about my match and the girl that I was in there with enough that I'm willing to spend a half an hour sweating, you know, standing there sweaty and gross and stinky and nasty before I change or anything, to provide my feedback. I will never effing apologize for that, because the way that I see it, I agree with you, it doesn't happen enough. And I get kind of annoyed, not annoyed, I get flustered sometimes because there have been, I can't tell you, and again, nothing I say, if it sounds egotistical, I swear to God to everybody it's not, because believe me, I don't think very highly of myself most of the time at all. That's a straight shoot. But there have been several occasions when I have gone to somebody who I look up to or I respect after one of my matches, and I have said, okay, give me your feedback. And they'll be like, great, Casey, you're great, spot on. You know, you're an awesome heel, you're a perfect heel. Okay, we'll give you the negatives. And I say to them, thank you, what are the negatives? And they'll say, I don't have any. Most people would throw their hands up and praise God that they're such a good worker, that there's no negative feedback or anything. And I'm like, no, there has to be something. Like, I get kind of frustrated. I'm like, just make something up. Critique me on something, because I know that I'm not perfect, because that doesn't exist, you know? And so getting back to the topic, I'm not going to apologize for taking a half an hour or 40 minutes to provide my opponent with my opinion, or anybody who asks me to watch their match, which happens. I will never apologize for that, because number one, as you said, it's a disservice to that person, to that worker, if I don't provide my honest feedback and I don't tell them, you know, I've been places that they'll never go because maybe that place doesn't exist anymore. Maybe the opportunity doesn't exist anymore. You know, I've been through things they may not experience because the business changes, and that's mm-hmm. how it is. You know, it's a disservice to that worker to not provide them that honest feedback. It's also a disservice to the business. If I see something that I believe could be done differently or better, and I don't say something, now I'm not the person that's going to walk up to people that did not ask me my opinion, that did not ask me to watch their match. I'm not going to go up to them and go, hey, guys, you know what? That one spot, yeah, has sucked. Sucked. Here's what I would do. I'm not that person. If I just work for you, or if you ask me to watch your match, I will take as much time as it takes for me to give you my opinion. And excuse me, when it comes to girls that I work, not only am I not going to disrespect the business by not having that talk, not only will I not disrespect that girl by not having that talk, and guess what? 6 months from that date, when I'm booked to work that same girl again, and she's making the same mistakes in that match, I will have no room at all and no right to complain about her if I did not take the opportunity 6 months prior to try to help her and to teach her what she should be doing differently or better, and to try to improve upon her performance. If I didn't take that time to do that, Larry, when I work her in July and she has not changed at all, I have no right to be upset about that, because I became part of the problem, excuse me, and part of her lack of growth by not helping her 6 months ago. That's how I look at it.
No, I can attest to that. I think it's a huge piece of our business that can go so far. And I'm kind of like you in that regard. I do work on some shows, and you know, I will always ask, you know, the veteran promoters that are there. And for a good amount, I will get some really good feedback. And for some, I do get the same answer that you do. It's like, oh, you know, it was great. You know, I wouldn't change anything. But it's like you said, it's, come on, there's got to be something I did wrong, or you have
right.
an opinion how it could have been done differently. Mm-hmm. Lay it on me, because I want all of doesn't mean that I can try it next. That it might actually work, or I might be able to tweak it in some regard to make it work
right.
for me. So, you know, as much as I love providing the feedback, on the flip side, I'm not a fan of when someone just tells me, oh, your match is really good, I couldn't tell you what you could have done wrong. that just tells me you really weren't paying attention. And I'd rather you say, hey, I didn't see all of your match, or I didn't see the match, so I can't provide that feedback to you, as opposed to you just kind of giving me that little baby face, you know, you did everything right and all that. Yeah, I can't go there.
To me, like, I never question whether or not they watched, because honestly, you know, I will ask them, especially if I see them watching during the match, you know, if they're tucked in the corner and they're there the whole, like, I see you, dude, I see you. I see that you're watching the whole match. You know, when they say, nope, nothing, you were great and whatever, don't get me wrong. There's part of me inside that's like, all right, I did awesome. But then there's another part, you know, who's like, thank you, I am so appreciative, like, that makes me feel good, I feel confident in myself, but then there is part of me that's like, I know I'm not perfect, like, some, you know, and it goes back to, like, are you scared to say this, but these people that I'm asking would have absolutely zero reason to be intimidated by Casey Carlisle or scared by me. There are people who are huge veterans over me, but, you know, the other, like, not to digress, but the other thing in regards to providing that feedback after matches, I believe we are currently in a state of our business where it's not that people don't have feedback to provide. I feel like we are very much in an era of yes men and of patting each other on the back. We all want to be buddies with each other, because if I'm your buddy, you're going to put me over on Twitter. Or you're going to put me over on Facebook, you know, and, oh, yeah, I want to work with this person, or, oh, this is going to be awesome. We are in such an era of I'm going to yes-man you to death, because then you'll give me the rub. And everyone relies so heavily on social media to be the cool guy that nobody wants to say to you, bro, dude, the fuck happened with that spot? You blew that, you know, like, nobody wants to criticize anybody, because God forbid you say something negative about worker A, because then they're going to go on Twitter and blast you or something. Yeah. It's such a walking on eggshells. Oh no, I don't want the most popular boy in class to think that about me, because then nobody will like me. I think that's part of what's going on right now too. And dude, people who follow me on Twitter know, like, I'm not good at Twitter, and it's for a reason, because I'm not retweeting your stuff just because you think you're a cool guy and because I want to get over with you so you retweet mine. I'm not trying to, you know, ride coattail. Like, no, I use Twitter to interact with fans and promote my appearances, and I'm trying to be a better tweeter. Like, I'm trying to be more interactive and better. But it's stuff like that. I think that also plays a part in our business today. You know, it's a very well-known fact I'm old school. And back in the day, you would be in the car with a veteran for 8 hours going to the next town, and you would be silent for 8 hours while that veteran told you every damn thing you did wrong that night and everything that you need to do differently or better. And that was your lesson. You had an 8-hour lesson between towns. And nowadays that doesn't happen, because nobody wants to criticize anyone, because then you're an asshole or you're a jerk or you have an ego and you think you're better. And the veteran to greenhorn relationship is so skewed these days. It's not what it used to be, where there was this clearly defined line and green workers actually tried and wanted to learn from veterans. Like, the whole dynamic of the business has changed, and I think that's where we've lost a little bit of the passing of knowledge that used to happen so readily and naturally back in the day.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of that anymore. You go back to your point about the social media aspect, and, you know, I'm still, as much as I've been involved with social media, I'm always still learning about the new trends, and I'm kind of sitting back and looking and watching. And yeah, everybody wants to be nice to each other. You know, I've taken on a role lately, and everything that is my social media, there are elements of who I am behind the character. But for the most part, everything I do is character driven. But there's also elements that I may have my opinions. And, you know, I'm not afraid sometimes to put out my opinion. I don't care if somebody wants to tell me, oh, well, hey, look what Donovan said. He must be, you know, grumpy, or, hey, you know, this is this Donovan thinking that it's, you know, the 1980s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. It's my opinion. Social media has been put on a platform of you can voice your opinion, whether you agree with it or not. That's what it's there for. If I choose to put something out there that I feel I have a right to, then that's cool. If you want to get upset, hey, I may have touched a nerve that maybe you have to think twice, that maybe what you know I'm saying is true, but you still feel the need to comment, and that's totally okay. I like good banter back and forth, but, you know, I'm not afraid to put something out there that might ruffle a few feathers, because I don't really care if said, you know, person A says, hey, I saw Donovan's, you know, tweet or post, and next thing you know, you have other people wanting to badmouth me. But in reality, most people who know me are going to know, hey, that's just Donovan. He's a cool guy. He's got his opinions. There's nothing wrong with that. Because just like you, if you put something out there, it's like, hey, that's Casey. You know, she's got that old school mentality. I may not necessarily agree with what she's saying, but I respect her for putting her feelings out there. And like you said, we're in such a society where everybody just wants to be accepted. Nobody wants to be told what they did wrong. Nobody wants to learn anymore. You know, I get in the cars with people, and the good ones, I have really good conversations and really in-depth stuff, and then some are just, I want to rip my eyes out, because it's just everybody's complaining about this person, complaining about that person. How about we get past that, and let's just talk about, hey, as we're driving home, what did you guys think about the event tonight? What do you think went right? What do you think went wrong? Instead, people are talking about, oh, well, this guy did too many dives in his match. Who cares? Let's talk about the overall event. You know what I mean? We're in a society now where, like, I guess the social media, I mean, do you see it with wrestling? Where just everybody's just trying to one-up each other instead of just saying, hey, we're all at an event. We have 9 or 10 matches. Where am I on the card, and what role do I need to play tonight in order to make this event as best as it can be? And instead, a lot of times, it's, hey, we're match 2. We've got 10 minutes. Okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And
we're then going to the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, I just think some of those, and again, anyone who's listening to this right now might just say, oh, it's Grumpy Donovan again giving a seminar. But no, I'm just so passionate, and I love talking about it, that I want to know and learn more of what I can do with my knowledge to help somebody who's younger, help a show overall, provide my input and feedback. The social media game, I think what it was intended for, has just gone so completely south that a lot of times I have to take a break for a couple of days from social media, just because I can't take it anymore of just all the stuff that's on there. And most of the people that I follow are, you know, is independent, you know, or is professional wrestling as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to weed past all the crap just to see the good stuff that is written about our business or, you know, anything like that. I have to scroll past the nine posts of, hey, I'm open for these dates. Please book me. I'm begging you. Please book me. You know,
hey, I post things like that. I just don't beg.
No, but here's the thing, though. The way you do it is,
I post those, I'm available these dates. Hit me up. What you got to say about it, Donovan?
All right, so we're in the heat spot right now here. So the way you do it is professional. The way I see a lot of people do it, it's just begging. It's please book me. I will work for free. I just don't want to be home this weekend. Type of post. But there is a way to go about letting people know, hey, I had an event canceled. I'm available. But to these mm-hmm. other ones, it's, where do you want to see me wrestle? Tag a promotion.
Dude,
for the love of God. You know, it's something. I was at a training school last night, and the trainer there, he was right when he said, hey, I'm responsible for your training. I'm not responsible for your success in wrestling. And it's such a true statement because we are the masters of our own brand, but, you know, no promotion is just going to get tagged and say, oh, let me look at this guy. And sometimes they do. It's your job as a professional wrestler, aspiring professional wrestler, to go out there and contact these places yourself professionally, or to just show up at an event and have your bag and be able to partake in the old school ways of setting up the ring and talking to the promoter and saying, yeah, it's like saying, hey, I'm not booked with your promotion tonight. Can I hang out and check out your show? And maybe if there's an opportunity in the future, you know, could I possibly perform for you? That's such a lost piece these days. Everyone takes the easy road of, you know, what I just said earlier. It's in the, you know, tag a promotion. It's such a different route these days of the, I just want to be accepted.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts swirling through my head right now on everything you just said. Like, yes.
Curious what kind of thoughts are kicking around the cabeza of Casey Carlisle? Well, tune into next week's episode of A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with Sean Donovan right here on B+ Player Radio and the Shining Wizards Network. Until then, follow Sean Donovan at SeanDonovan01. Follow Casey Carlisle at Casey Carlisle. And check out B+ Player Radio at B+ Radio. My name is Mark Adam Haggerty. Have a great day, everybody. This has been a presentation of B+ Player Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at B+ Radio. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Stitcher if you like what you heard today. And head on over to audibletrial.com/B+players to help support the network.